Tonight I want to talk to you about your assured victory. Your assured victory. We're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 54 and primarily verse 17, but first, verse 16. Notice, "Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the spoiler to destroy." Next verse, a familiar one probably to many of you here tonight. "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." Verse 17 gives us the assurance of our victory, but verse 16 gives us some context. It was tough, dark days for Israel, and God earlier had been talking about their covenant of peace with him. And really, when you look at these two verses, he's saying, "I created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument." That's also a word that means weapon. And notice what he says, "for his work, and I've created the spoiler to destroy." So we have these two verses that are joined together, and the Lord is encouraging us through these verses. You know, ultimately, he's the creator of all things, but he doesn't cause all things. He created Lucifer, a beautiful light-bearing angel, to worship him and lead the other angels to worship him. The scripture seems to suggest that to us in the few verses that we have about what was going on in eternity past. But we know that Lucifer, by his own choice, fell into rebellion and caused a rebellion, wreaked havoc, caused evil, and he shows up again in the garden. And so, ultimately, God is above all and sovereign over all. And even though he created Lucifer, he did not cause or create evil. But he can use even the devil himself to bring about his plans and purposes. We see in the Old Testament, this is an occasion, you know, from like 700 B.C. to 586 B.C., 722 to 586, the Assyrians came into Israel to the north, and God prophesied it. You know, because of your rebellion, your idolatry, your chasing after other gods, I'm going to use a foreign nation to chasten you. And he did the same thing with the Babylonians and Nebuchadnezzar, the emperor there in Babylon. And so in Isaiah here, he is encouraging us to know that in our position in the Lord, that anything the enemy comes at us with, we have the assurance of victory. Because particularly now, we'll be looking through this through a new covenant lens, even more so now as new covenant believers, the assurance of ultimate victory. So as we think about your assured victory, our assured victory, let's take apart verse 17. And the first thing I want you to see there is your enemy is real. Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in other words, the Lord speaking through him, says, "No weapon formed against you," he goes on to say, "shall prosper." But we're going to stop right there. No weapon formed against you. Now, the little video clip, 58 seconds long, and obviously it took him no telling how many hours and hours and hours to actually make that sword. But we, in 58 seconds, we got to see the bird's eye view of the process of someone who was skilled forming a weapon, a sword. In reality, in the realm of the spirit, we have a nemesis, an enemy. And he forms weapons. That word forms is the same word you find where it talks about the Lord and the potter and the clay. He forms the clay. It's the same idea here, except the context is your enemy is forming a weapon. And I believe we can look in depth in this. It's the sense that he studies your walk. He listens to your talk. He knows your family line weaknesses. He has a long and very accurate memory. He knows what's worked in your distant cousins and your grandfather and your grandmother and so forth. He observes, he listens, and he custom makes a weapon to use against you. Maybe it's the weapon called discouragement. Maybe it's the weapon called fear. Maybe it's the weapon that he crafts that causes sickness. These are things the enemy wants to use to spiritually gut us, take us out, and destroy us. So when he says, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. So the idea that I don't have to worry about weapons being formed against me is not altogether true. They will be formed. The enemy will assault. He will attack. I remember when we were in seminary. We went through some real trying times. And then we were able to pastor out after I graduated seminary. We were able to pastor a church in Mississippi. And I remember how those were some really lean years for us in different ways. We were away from our family. Mickey and I both grew up in the country for the most part. And when we moved to Memphis, Tennessee, it was like the Beverly Hillbillies. Going to Ella to Beverly Hills, you know. It was all new for us. And so it was a big time of transition. Then when we moved down into Mississippi, so happy to be pastoring a church there. And we financially, there were numbers of times when we looked at the month and there was a lot more month than there was money. And that there's a pressure involved in that. And then we had, I mentioned recently, we had a little Renault Alliance car. And we lost the engine on that. We didn't have money to get a new vehicle. And it was just a real lean time. But you know your struggles make you stronger. It's the time when, those are times when our faith is tested. Well, we'll find out if he's Jehovah Jireh. But you know what? He is. He is. Always has been. Always will be. We've gone through seasons where we were having to move out of Parsonage, and we didn't know where we were going to be moving to. And that can be a burden when you've got four children, and you're out of work, and you don't have a house to live in. And it's a real time of trying your faith. And you can become anxious, and you can become frustrated. Some of you may be in similar circumstances tonight, maybe because of a doctor's report, some health issue going on in your life, or it may be financial for you, or it could be a child away from the Lord, or there's maybe the friction in your marriage is causing some serious issues, or maybe the general worries of life has you weighed down. And most of us here know what those times are like, but those can be the weapons that the enemy is forming against you. Well, everybody has to go through that. Well, that's true, because the enemy doesn't discriminate. He hates all of God's created order. He wants to destroy it all, and he particularly has his bullseye on the believer who's worshiping the one that he rebelled against. So your enemy is real. And there may be times when those whispers come or those thoughts race through your mind. Well, I'm a believer and I'm reading my Bible and I'm praying. And you feel like the heavens are brass and you're not sensing the breakthrough. And you find yourself beginning to wobble a little bit spiritually. Your enemy's real. But thank God the second thing we see here is your victory is assured. No weapon formed against you, notice that word of promise, shall. No weapon formed against you, sparks flying and the battle's on and you're in the middle of the battle, it can be extremely difficult. The trying of your faith, Peter says, and James both, that it produces patience, you know? And that's a hard stretch of road to be on. But we have God's assured promise that the weapon that Satan has formed against you shall not prosper. And let me say, regardless of it, you may say, well, my problem's not with the devil. It's with my in-laws, or it's with the guy I work with, or it's the lady that's my neighbor. You know, it could be people. You think it's people, but Paul reminds us that our struggle, our warfare, is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual hosts of wickedness in the high places, and the rulers of darkness in this world. The spiritual battle is real, but God's assurance is that we will overcome. We have victory. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Well, how does this work? We'll get to that at the end, because we're going to have a time of decreeing and declaring this over all of our life in your hand. A couple of days ago, I was praying for situation one of our families here is going through at Grace House, and the Lord just dropped a couple of scriptures in my heart, and this was one of them. So I started praying it over my brother, and just declaring that, shared it with him, and I could just sense the weight of the Lord on it, and that led me to just dive into the scripture and want to share it with you tonight. This is the weapon we need to be using. There's weapons being formed against us, but we need to know how to use the weapons that have been given to us by the Lord. You've got some's going to be used against you, but you've got some that you need to be using in the battle that you're in, because your victory is assured. Now, this verse tells us here that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and I mentioned that. But the word is yasar, to form. It's to design. It has a purpose. It implies there's intelligence behind what's being done. But the victory is assured. That word prosper is a word talak, and it means to push forward, to break out, and to succeed. So even the meaning of that word to prosper is the idea of in the battle, you push through instead of it pushing through on you. You push through and you succeed. You prosper, it doesn't. You break through, it doesn't. It doesn't break you. No, you break through because of God's promise. And this is the way we fight our spiritual battles. We have a song that we sing around here occasionally. This is how we do our battles, you know. And it talks about using worship as our warfare. And it's so very true. Using worship, using the word, using prayer, using fasting, and so forth. And so it's important that we understand this. Now, we have the Holy Spirit that lives in us. And just a couple of chapters later, Isaiah says this: when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. Now this is just a few chapters later. Here he's, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And then later, when the enemy comes in other words, he's formed that weapon, now he's coming in at you with that weapon, it's not going to prosper. Why? The Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Now that standard can be a reference to the Word of God. That's what Jesus did when the enemy came to him. He used the Word. It can also be our appropriating, declaring, prophesying, and decreeing the power of the name of Jesus, the power of the blood of Christ, that the Holy Spirit moves and works through the truth of Scripture. You see that pattern of, we see it in the Christmas season, we're in the story of Mary. The Holy Spirit hovers over her, and then the Lord implants his seed in her for the Christ child. And that, again, that's the Holy Spirit working, and God's working, God's seed. Be it done unto me according to your word. And I believe the Lord spoke that word in Mary, and the Holy Spirit was moving and working. And we see this, that we use the word and the activity of the Holy Spirit joins with what we're doing, and the result is that when the Spirit comes in and uses his weapons, they will not prosper. Your victory is assured. Let God be true, every man a liar. Your circumstances may be screaming one thing, but you can listen to that and get in fear, doubt, and unbelief. Or you can set your sights on the word, hide it in your heart, and speak it out your mouth, and realize that what you're speaking is more powerful than what the enemy is forming against you. This is how we do our battles. Your victory is assured. Then, thirdly, we see in this scripture, your voice is powerful. Look at the rest of that verse where it says, and every tongue which rises against you. Notice that. Weapons formed against you. Now here comes the tongues wagon coming against you, bringing accusation, rises against you in judgment. You shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Who shall condemn those words spoken against you? It's something we do. You do. When those words rise up in judgment against you, you pass the verdict on that. This is not of God. You release the truth and to bring the accuser of the brethren to his knees. This worked when Jesus was mano-mano with the enemy, if you will, when he was confronted by Satan himself in his temptation, and he declared the word of God, it is written, it is written, it is written. He used the word as a sword. Now, we saw a man making a sword here, and we're talking about how the enemy does that kind of stuff to use against us. But you need to realize that you have a heaven-sent, heaven-made, custom-designed sword that you can access anywhere, at any time, in any situation, with complete confidence that you will have victory as you use it. Because the galaxies around us are upheld by the word of his power. The word of God is alive, and it is powerful, and it's even sharper than a two-edged sword. Your voice is powerful in the sense that you use your voice to speak the word of God, the living, powerful, on fire word of God. This speaks of the believer's judicial authority. Now just imagine you were in a court of law and the enemy was trying to prosecute you and was bringing all kinds of accusations against you. You did this, and you did that, and you did that, and you did this. Maybe bringing up your past or contriving lies. That's the way he works. But this is telling us that we condemn that. We it's like we have the gavel in our hand, and we bring it down and say, that's a lie. That's a lie. And we're going to see why when we get to the fourth part. Because what God says about us is what's true, not what the enemy accuses us with. And thank God for that. Your voice is powerful. Now, recently I shared a message where David was saying, you know, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. And I've shared the message about that when your soul's cast down, how you preach yourself up. Again, we see a similar thing here that you can get under the weight of the weapons the enemy's bringing about you, you're no good. You're worthless. You're a liar for you, wanting you to get in a line with it, wanting you to agree it. He wants you to begin saying the same things about you that he says about you. He is an accuser. He is the devil, diabolos, which means the slanderer. And he will use people to slander you. That's the nature of the enemy. But your voice is powerful. Every tongue, what tongue? Well, which one are you having to deal with these days? Sometimes it's the one in your mouth, right? I mean, honestly, sometimes we're prophesying doom over our own lives. I'm not this. I can't do this. And I'm talking about negativity, fear, doubt. It works for others. This doesn't seem to work for me. And so forth. Sometimes it's our own tongue that our spirit man needs to rise up and get it in line. Sometimes it's someone else's tongues. Maybe for you, it's the tongue that you still hear. It's the tongue that was speaking over you when you were a child, or when you were a teenager, or when you were in college, or you had your first job, or you had that terrible boss, or you were in that difficult situation, and that you were being machine-gunned verbally by people constantly, and it's beat you down, and it's caused you to mar your own identity. Because it's important we understand this. You're going to have enough people telling you what you can't do and why you can't do it and how awful you are without you casting a vote with them. Your voice is powerful. As a matter of fact, the negativity proves how powerful your voice is. You can preach yourself right into depression. You can prophesy yourself right into immoral behavior. You can speak yourself right back up onto that bar stool and be back in that drunken state again. You can convince yourself. If you listen to your own thinking, and the next thing you know, you'll be back on meth. Or you'll be having an extramarital affair. Or you'll be clicking for some porn. Those are the kinds of battles that people have to face all the time. These voices that condemn, the tongues that wag in our mind, and sometimes the tongues that wag around us. But you are supposed to bring down the verdict, the gavel on those things. And say, no, this is not going to prosper in my life. And that's because, fourthly, your standing before God is solid. The Lord says, this is the heritage of my servants. The Lord says, your righteousness is from me. This is in Isaiah, under the old covenant. Oh my goodness, what an upgrade we've gotten with our new covenant. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. Jesus knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You have been made righteous, worthy, qualified in a standing of righteousness before God. You're standing before him on solid ground. That's the reason when the enemy comes and begins to remind you of wrong behavior and bad choices and your worst moments, to try to taunt you and torment you and slander you, that's when you've got to get a good look at the book and let it loose on that crook, right? That's right, because you are righteous. I've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. My standing before God is not based on the merit of Eddie Lawrence. It is not based on my good works or your good works. Solid ground, because our lives are founded on the Christ, the rock, the bedrock of all Christianity. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the foundation on which the apostles and prophets build and where God's truth rests. It's about Jesus. And your life has been hidden in Christ in God. You have been made to be seated in the heavenly places. You're standing before God is solid. On Christ the solid rock you stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That's who you are. That's who God says you are as he views you through the sacrifice of his son. And again, if we can just get in agreement with what is true, because that's what the scripture teaches. And when we begin to believe that and use that as our weapon, then we'll begin to see more transformation in our behavior, in our thinking. Our mind will become renewed because we're yielding and submitting and surrendering to the truth of God. You're standing before God is solid. And that's the way we get deliverance from the enemy's clutches. It's in the name of Jesus and who he is. You want to start seeing more breakthrough, increase your level of confidence in who Christ is in you. Not in yourself, who Christ is in you. Who Christ is in you. This is about, this scripture, again, brings us to two big foundational truths in our New Covenant theology that have to do with our identity and our authority. This is the inheritance of my servants, says the Lord. You do not earn an inheritance. It is given to you. It is your birthright. It's your spiritual DNA as a child of God. Father has decreed and declared that you are a co-inheritor, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That's your heritage. That is your inheritance. You are now of a new bloodline in Christ, a new creation in Christ, adopted into the family of God, a child of God. That's your standing. So when the enemy starts to play his games with you, which are really not games, brings his warfare, you do it as a child of God. You do it in the name of Jesus. You do it in the authority granted you by your Father through the name of his Son. You use that authority granted to you by the Father in the name of Jesus, and then you see heaven manifesting before you. Because the Spirit of God is working through you to raise up that standard of truth on which the universe rests and is founded, and it is eternal. It is eternal. Heaven and earth may pass away, but the Word of God abides forever. The psalmist said, Thy Word, O Lord, is settled forever in the heavens. And so when we can get our mind renewed with this and take the word as a sword in our hand and come against that anxiety and that fear and that doubt and those memories and that trauma and that abuse and those addictions, whatever it is he's custom made that's taken you out before, caused you trouble before. When you start using that eternal word of God, heaven comes down. You start seeing breakthrough. Why? Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. And you are doing that by the word you speak out of your mouth that you have hidden in your heart, that you have embraced with faith. Amen. You're standing before God is solid. Now I want you to stand before me tonight. We want to Rasha is the Hebrew word, thou shalt condemn. You shall do it. You shall rashah. And if you can see legally, judicially, using God's word like that sword to cut that away. Now, I'm going to lead us in a declaration that I've written out here. I'm going to declare it, and I want you to declare it with me. I'll give you a section at a time, but we want to do this in faith. So let's fan into flame the faith inside of us. Let's believe collectively here in this room tonight when we make this declaration based on Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. I want you to just, I'm not trying to get you to get your backhoe out and dig up a bunch of stuff. You know what you're dealing with. You know what you're having to face right now. What is the thing that you're needing a breakthrough in? If you had to kind of write a sentence or two of what the weapon the enemy's formed against you and is using against you, what would it be? I want you to use this declaration we're about to make tonight against that. You zero your faith in on God's word, turn it into a weapon, and use it against that. Rush it in Jesus' name. I'm going to make this declaration in a moment, but first I want to pray. Holy Spirit, may you superintend the release of this declaration we are making as a congregation here at Grace House tonight. Father, I thank you for your attending angels that do your bidding. Thank you for the power of your word that when we brandish the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, you watch over that word to bring it forth. So we thank you in the realm of the Spirit for what's about to happen as we do this tonight in Jesus' name. Now together, you repeat after me. Father, I stand before you tonight, not in my own strength, but in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I thank you for my heritage, for my inheritance in Christ. I thank you for your protection. I did not earn this protection. I was born into it because I belong to you. My safety is my birthright. Therefore, I speak to the blacksmith. I speak to every spiritual weapon that has been custom made for my destruction. I declare, you shall not prosper. I speak to the weapon of fear. I speak to the weapon of sickness. I speak to the weapon of lack. You have no authority here. You will not push forward. You will not succeed. And now I address the accuser. Every tongue that has risen against me in judgment, I now condemn. I now rasha. I declare those lies to be wicked. I declare those words to be illegal. I silence the voice of guilt. I silence the voice of shame. My righteousness is from the Lord. I am established in grace. I am secure in His love. I am the servant of the Most High God. And I am walking out of here protected, empowered, and free. I am blessed. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now let's agree and thank God for that. You make that a refrigerator verse. You know what I mean by that, right? Write it out on the card until you memorize it. Hide it in your heart and speak it out your mouth. Well, thanks for being here this evening. I want to ask some of our prayer team members to come who are scheduled just to be here. There may be some of you, you need someone to pray with you tonight for whatever reason. If you have a need to receive prayer, we always want to make that available to you. And if we could have a couple of people maybe over here as well, we just invite you, after we say the amen tonight, these will be here to pray with you. Now, it may be that you need to work through some other areas very specifically with what we have stepped in by faith tonight. Take that and, so to speak, load your spiritual weapons and fire away at what the enemy is doing in the realm of the spirit. Because you know who you are in Christ. That's your identity. And you've been given authority to come against the one who's coming against you. And cut off his supply lines. Carpet bum him in the spirit. And walk in victory. Amen? Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Let's thank him one more time. Thank you for victory, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for victory. In Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we can know that we know that we know no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. You're on the scene, the creator of all things. Thank you that you're working all things together for good in our life. We just want to align our heart with your assignments for us. Help us to be obedient. Help us to walk in humility. Help us, Lord, to live standing on the promises of God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Love you all. Thanks for being here.